Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is Hockman and Crowder on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
In for Hawk, my name is Chris Whittingham here on 560 WQAM, alongside Channing Crowder, here for one more hour. Coming up later tonight, you can hear from Coach Mark Richt and his players on a special edition of the Williamson Cadillac Buick GMC Hurricane Hotline tonight from 6 to 8 in the home of the U, WQAM. University of Miami football on Friday and then Dolphins football on Sunday. They're away to the New England Patriots. And according to the Las Vegas bookmakers, the Dolphins are a 16.5-point underdog for the game in New England.
Oh, that number's too big. Omar's going to tell us that number's too big.
Omar Kelly on the Toyota South Florida Hotline. Is that number too big?
That number is offensive. It's just a slap in the face. It's shameful. And I understand, you know, I'm sure Jay Cutler being concussed has a lot to do with it. I'm sure playing in Foxborough has a lot to do with it. But I believe I've heard this is the biggest line of the NFL season. I'm like, are the Dolphins the worst team in the NFL season? Is that what you're saying?
Well, if I imagine if the Browns were at the Patriots, they might be like 20-point underdogs. But, yeah, I would say in terms of the biggest disparity in a matchup this season, it might have to be this one.
Yeah, it's clearly a problem that the Dolphins – I mean, if you don't get offended by this, and I know there isn't much that you should make you compete better in Foxborough, but you should be embarrassed by this because basically Vegas is saying you suck just to encourage people to bet on this game.
By the way, Omar Kelly is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. He's on Twitter at Omar Kelly. You can check out his work at sunsentinel.com.
Hey, but is it a bad line, if you see what I'm saying, or is it just a disrespectful line? Because you can be disrespected and it still be a good line.
You know, I would definitely put money on the Dolphins. I don't think they're 16-point bad to the Patriots. I mean, especially if Matt Moore starts. I don't think Matt Moore is a world beater, but I know Matt Moore can put up points. But don't let that Baltimore game fool you. Look at what he's done throughout his career since 2011. Matt can put up points now. The Patriots, if you really, really look at their defense, they're, I believe, like the 31st defense in the NFL. You know, their offense is hard to score on, but their defense is just getting gashed all season. I know they've fixed some issues. They've gotten it addressed, and certainly the Dolphins, they got nothing to be proud of offensively. But, you know, let's not pretend like these are this is like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the Warren Sapp era. They're just mediocre defensively.
So when you look at the quarterbacking situation, Matt Moore comes in relief and again has a great game.
Patriots are 32nd in the NFL in terms of defense. So they're last.
I will say of late they haven't been as bad as they were as the start of the season.
Yeah, they're still last.
Yeah, right. It was long enough. The struggles were for them to still be that far down. But so you mentioned if it's Matt Moore, so obviously you would rate him higher than Jay Cutler at the moment. Why do you toss out the result against Baltimore as Matt Moore can't be your starter, but he can be a great backup?
I toss out the result against Baltimore for two reasons. One, Baltimore is just a physically difficult matchup for the Miami Dolphins and always have been, with the exception of the Tony Sperano era. Baltimore is going to punch you in the mouth, and when you look up, they're going to punch you in the mouth again, and that just style does not suit well for the Dolphins team. They're just not built that way. they're not built to play, take on a bully. Like, you could say a lot of things about the Patriots, but they're efficient. They're not a bully. The Ravens are going to, if it's third and 14, third and three, it doesn't matter. They're blitzing you. You know, that's just their style. And just have never handled that well. Also, Matt Moore only had one day to practice that week, a Thursday night game. It's a very difficult game to prepare for. There's literally one legitimate day of practice. So I'm working in a new starting quarterback, and he has one day of practice. Like, exactly how efficient are you going to be? So that's why I throw out the Baltimore game. And I get it. Baltimore's not playing that great. Obviously, they're still in the playoff hunt, and the Dolphins aren't. But, you know, it is what it is. You could say a lot of things about Matt Moore. And as a Dolphin fan, if you think that Matt Moore is a backup in the NFL, that's great. That's valid. If you think that Matt Moore can't play quarterback and can't put up points and can't make your big play game come alive, you clearly haven't been paying attention since 2011. Because from his time as a starter for the Miami Dolphins, he's either produced, with the exception of Baltimore, of course, he's either produced close losses or a blowout victory. But and this year he started to produce some come from behind victories. Now he's not perfect. He's Matt Moore. You're going to get some interceptions. You're going to get some turnovers, but he's going to produce points. It's going to be fun to watch, at least.
Hey, I'm not built like this, but it popped up in my mind, honestly, after I saw Jay Cutler's wife, Cavallari, she's a social media lady, yeah. I don't know. But I saw her Instagram something that said, I'm tired of this football crap, and she cussed in it. But I want you to tell me, why wouldn't Jay Cutler act like he has a headache for the next month and a half and just ride off into the sunset? Why would he continue to play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins?
You know, I heard you say that yesterday, and I thought about it. And knowing that it's coming from you, I was like, that's interesting, because Chan is not built like that.
No. Nah.
So why would you assume that Jay Cutler's built like that?
Oh, I've bought into, honestly, I have to be honest, I've bought into what he showed us through his career, how he has the smoking Jay face, you know, and that, what was that, against New
Orleans? Cutler don't care.
Yeah, against New Orleans Saints when he hurt his knee. And I know the story goes deeper where he wanted to play, whatever. But honestly, I've seen him. It doesn't seem like he's really gung-ho. He would come back out of retirement to, I guess, change his narrative. But there's nothing he can do this year to change his narrative.
He didn't come back to change his narrative. He doesn't care.
He
chased the money. This is the one thing. Like, there are a lot of things said about Jay Cutler that I was like, I'm not sure if that's true, if that's a myth, or I'm not sure if that's valid, or, you know, sadly enough, just about, you know how people give you their best impressions early?
Yeah.
And, you know, great, yeah, you know, honeymoon period, just about everything people said about Jay Cutler, critical of him, it's valid. It's valid. Now, is he a quitter? I don't think so. I don't think he did that in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't know. I agree with you. You know, here's my thing. Do I want to go up there in Foxborough and get slaughtered by New England? Nope.
Yeah.
But maybe I tell him I got a little I got a little headache. I'm not feeling good that week, but I certainly want to be back the next. I certainly want to play against Denver. There's a lot of things said about him, and a lot of things are valid. Quitter, I'm not sure, is one of those things that are valid.
We're joined by Omar Kelly of the South Florida Sun Sentinel. When we were talking on Sunday ahead of the Bucs game, you said regardless of the result, you were going to ask Adam Gase what he believes his team's offensive identity is. Did you get a chance to ask it, and what was his response?
Yeah, I did. I asked it yesterday, and I wasn't really pleased with the response, which is basically, you know, we want to be respectable run game, but our strength is our wide receiver, so we want to be a passing offense, which is, I know that's what he's always wanted. He's always wanted to be the Denver Broncos. Problem is, you don't have Peyton Manning. You don't have Peyton Manning. And you can sit here either with Jay Cutler or Ryan Tannehill and pass the ball 35 times, but it's not going to be very efficient, and you don't have the offensive line to protect you. And he said it would look better if they were more successful on just the average run plays and throw it, you know, and that way you get into third and manageables, and then you could throw the ball to backs and think and dunk your way down the field. And I thought, you know, I understand what you want to be, but you clearly are delusional when you're looking at your roster and your personnel. And it is on the head coach to evolve each season based on what their strengths and weaknesses are. And he has. He's done a good job of that. But, you know, it's not good enough, and which means and hints to me that the roster isn't good enough. So, you know, what do you keep doing if your roster isn't good enough?
And who's responsible for that? I'm not who's the GM. I know who on – if I go to Wikipedia, I know who they're going to have as GM. I know Chris Greer's name is going to be up there, Mike Tannenbaum. But who is really responsible? Who has to answer for Jay Cutler's $10 million? Who has to answer for Ray Malaluga getting cut? Who has to answer for Lawrence Timmons going AWOL? Who is that guy getting yelled at?
You know, Adam Gase. Adam Gase is the man ultimately responsible and will be held accountable for all of these things. An undisciplined penalty-prone team. Adam Gase is responsible for that. You can't be the second most penalized team in the NFL, and then look as a coach be like, "Not me, it ain't on me." Nah, bro, it's on you. You know, in the Sun Sentinel, I'm writing a column. Basically, the gist of it is, I'm giving you 10 reasons why the Dolphins suck. Just sort of explaining to you what these issues are that this team is having that makes them fall short of what everybody's expectations are. And not stuff that can be debated, just stuff that's quantifiably proven by the numbers. And three of them are really Adam Gase and the coaching staff's responsibility. Like, it's on them. The fact that you are a slow-starting team, you get 5 points in the first half of the game, that's on you, man. Come up with a better game plan. Call for the ball on for, you know, instead of deferring, be more efficient. You know, the fact that they're poor in the red zone. Okay, that's on Matt Burke. You know, you're the second worst team in the NFL in terms of defense red zone. Why aren't you calling better plays? Why aren't you choosing better personnel? Maybe you have to go to an overloaded defensive line. You got to figure something out. That's the coach's job. Players just go out there and play, and yeah, if their execution isn't right, they're not going to play very, very good. But a lot of times, execution isn't a problem. It's just the before you snapped, you took a L.
And one of the players who seems to be in the least advantageous positions often is Kiko Alonso. Pro Football Focus pointed out that he was targeted 11 times on Sunday, 10 receptions to 7 players for 138 yards for the season. He's been targeted second most in the league amongst 4-3 outside linebackers. Has he always been this way in coverage and we just didn't notice it? Or why do we think of him as the bedrock of the linebacking core coming into the season?
No. One, I wouldn't even take anything you just said from Pro Football Focus and taking it into as view it as accuracy. And here's the reason why. On a lot of those zone coverages, how does Pro Football Focus know who's responsible for who?
They don't.
Or who has what zone? Yeah,
right.
You know, a lot of times Kiko is just a like there was one play OJ Howard. You know, Kiko he was Kiko's man. Kiko saw the play coming. It was like, oh crap, and ran to it and made the tackle way downfield. But I guess because he made the tackle, Pro Football Focus gives him those grades. I stopped dealing, and not to turn this into a Pro Football Focus bash session. I remember it was 2012, and Richie Incognito was graded like the 98th worst offensive guard in the NFL by Pro Football Focus, but yet was voted by his peers as a Pro Bowler. And I in the film, I'm looking at it, I'm like, Richie's one hell of a guard. Like, what the hell are they talking about? And I often ask Richie, what's going on? And Richie was just like, not that he's the most credible individual in the world, but he was just like, man, those grades are crap. And he explained to me why those grades are crap. And then I went to an executive who also said those grades are crap. And the perfect example he gave me is, he said, use Vince Wilfork as a perfect example. If Mike Pouncey blocks Vince Wilfork one-on-one, is that a victory or a loss?
It's a Super Bowl win.
That's a Super Bowl win. But Pro Football Focus doesn't give Mike Pouncey a positive grade for blocking Vince Wilfork one-on-one. It's not quantifiable. Like, anybody who's playing Ndamukong Suh solo, is if he just gets a stalemate, that's a victory. Yeah. Pro Football Focus doesn't grade it like that. And it's just it's the lot of things that are valid about Pro Football Focus, but the grades, they aren't. I remember before we even had coaches' film available, Pro Football Focus used to have the grades up about the secondary. And the secondary, basically, the coaches' film, all 22, doesn't come out until Tuesday. Doesn't come out until today, and they used to have the grades up. So how are you judging safeties in the NFL if you don't have all 22 film? Like, what are you seeing? How you can't even watch safeties in a TV copy. So, you know, put it now. Getting back to Kiko Alonso, yes, is he being targeted and attacked? Absolutely. Will the Patriots, with all three of their starting tight ends, target and attack him? If you don't know Bill Belichick by now, this you are a moron, because this is what I love about playing the Patriots and why I'm disappointed that the Dolphins play them so late in the season. If you don't know your weaknesses, Bill Belichick's going to show you. Yep. And it is beautiful to watch Bill Belichick dissect and attack a team's weakness and take away his strength, the team's strength. You might not even know it's team strength, but when Bill Belichick decides to take it away, all of a sudden you need to be like, wait a minute, that's our strength? Oh, damn, I didn't even know that. I remember the time that they double teamed Charles Clay to take him away from Ryan Tannehill, and I was like, huh? Like, really? Words? And it just worked. Then all of a sudden, you see everybody else do the same thing. Bill Belichick will dissect your team, figure out exactly how they need to beat you, whether it's getting Philip Wheeler isolated out on the linebacker. Like, expect the Dolphins to never be a nickel package on Sunday. Making them stay in base, keeping Chase Allen on the field or whoever else is in that base package, and making him a target, that's the route to success. I remember that game Michael Thomas won, the Defensive Player of the Week. Yeah, they kept picking on him because he just got there 2 days ago. Obviously, the Dolphins got lucky on that play. But Bill Belichick is a mastermind of targeting and attacking your weakness, so expect Kiko Alonso to be heavily targeted and attacked.
Yeah, oh, I remember they just put like 3 or 4 guys on me. I ain't know what was going on. I was like, damn, coach, I know I'm good. No, man, two quick ones with Adam Gay. Oh, Adam Gay's old.
That final play when you got that interception, they was going after you when that game was on the line, though.
And that's what happens when you pick on me. I hurt your feelings. No, but, oh, quickly with Adam Gay's, man. Well, Adam Gay's, will he ever give up play calling duties?
Never. He's even said it to us. Never.
He's going
to
call plays as long as he's a head coach anywhere.
Till he dies.
And
you can forget that.
How long is his leash? I'm not saying he's on the hot seat. I really don't believe he is old, but how long is his leash?
He'll be here for at least the next 2 seasons. Don't matter what the record is. So you better suck it up and put your big boy pants on. If you don't like Adam Gase, he's shooting you at the bird with double middle fingers.
So even if it goes like 2-14 next year, he'll be the coach?
He will be the coach.
Wow.
You better believe it. Think about how hard it's been for Joe Philbin. Think about how hard it's been for Steve Ross to find a good coach. Mm-hmm. Think about it. And Adam Gase is a good coach. Steve Ross worked very hard trying to figure that out way before he was even interviewed. Steve Ross had his eyes and sights set on Adam Gase. Got the guy that he wanted, and to be honest, if you ever see them together, Steve Ross is Adam Gase's hype man. He's like, Adam Gase is like Biggie, and Steve Ross is Puffy. He just see that, yeah, like yeah. I see it all the time at the NFL owners meetings. Trust me, it's not going. He's not going anywhere.
Do you understand fans now starting to turn on him a little bit? Gase?
Fans are fickle, critical, fanatics who don't know what the hell they're talking about and are emotionally driven. that if you listen to what they want, you'll be fired. You'll be changing quarterbacks every 2 weeks and firing a coach every year. So the Dolphins, yes, Steve Ross has a bad habit of listening to fans, but he's been to the wilderness before. This is not the wilderness.
Omar
and
Kelly
definitely doesn't want to go back.
Omar Kelly, the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Appreciate the time.
All right, guys.
All right, that is Omar Kelly on Twitter, at Omar Kelly, and also on sunsentinel.com. By the way, coming up next, I will tell you the way that the Cleveland Browns can make the playoffs.
In the NFL?
Yes.
Oh, I want to hear this. You know what else I heard? There are people buying diamonds off the internet. Why would you do that, man? You
really?
Got to buy a precious
Why
stone.
Why would you do that?
You got to see it. And if you want to get a real diamond, if you're
looking
to get engaged.
Where can I go, Channing? Man, where can I go?
You got to holler at the diamond experts at Beverly's Jewelers. They make it easy for you, Chris. If you're planning on getting engaged, since 1968, it's where South Florida gets engaged. You need to take advantage of it, Chris. I see you got a little sparkle in your eye. I don't know for who.
Writing that down.
Beverly's carries one of the largest selections of GIA certified diamonds in the country. Now, they also have the cutting technology of lab-grown diamonds. They're identical to mine diamonds. I've seen them. They are identical to mine diamonds in every way, but they're 30 to 50% less. You might be able to get double the diamond if you want to check out the lab-grown diamonds. Either way, whatever your choice is, lab-grown or mine-grown, you got to go to Beverly's. You will get the Beverly's low-price guarantee, and it's easy. You're not going to find the same diamond anywhere for less. And like I said, like I told Chris, it's where South Florida gets engaged. Go check out the extensive selection of designer engagement rings. They are amazing. State-of-the-art custom design studio. They go back there. They make a little plastic mold or whatever ring you want. Perfect to you. Custom ring. They put the diamonds where one. They can see it, see how it fits before they make it the ring that you're going to have for the rest of your life with your loved one. Go to Beverly's. I've showed them my wife's engagement ring, and they were like, boy, we could have done something for you. I wish I might ask my wife to take hers back, and we're going to go to Beverly's. Get another one. I didn't know them at the time. Let the diamond experts at Beverly's watch out for you. I would if I could. Looking for the perfect gift. My wife's going to get something for Christmas. 12-month interest-free guaranteed financing. Free gift wrapping. Complimentary holiday cards. Extended hours for the holidays. That's for the customers. Visit Fort Lauderdale or Pembroke Pines location online at beverlyjewelers.com. It is Beverly Jewelers. Trust me, they're awesome. And since 1968, everybody else knows, it is where South Florida gets engaged.
Radio.com.
Always think of Anchorman when I hear this song.
My friend.
Oh. In the modern culture of what's going on with Charlie Rose and all the various allegations, Anchorman's whole construct doesn't really hold up very well. Although Veronica Corningstone does beat the crap out of him in the middle of the newsroom, so I guess that's kind of the woman's response. Your hair looks stupid.
That's a silly
Beats him
movie.
With the antenna. Fantastic. I love that movie, man. I was telling Falero earlier, because we were talking off air about the Chappelle's Show sketch of Clayton Bigsby, the black white supremacist.
Funny.
And I hadn't watched it in probably a decade. And I was just like surfing through the internet, and it like came up on my Twitter feed, and I watched again, and it's even funnier on second viewing.
Oh,
and,
all and, those hold all every season
yeah, oh
holds
my
up.
God, they're so good. Like you talk about comedy, like being struggling to hold up. Like that's from 13 years ago, 13, 14 years ago, and it's still hilarious as ever if you watch it.
Hope he comes back.
But he's come back. He does late night shows. Did two Netflix specials.
Stand up.
Have you seen the Netflix specials
yet?
They were
funny.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah.
But a little vulgar, but funny.
Yeah, right. I sort of reference the fact that I love the movie Anchorman, and I go like maybe 3 years at a time without seeing it, and then I'll watch it again, and I'll have forgotten all like a lot of the details, like the subtle moments of the movie that I had forgotten over the course of time, and they just kill me because you forget enough to where it's funny again. And I just love doing things like that. All right,
big fan of movies with good dialogue.
Yeah,
just two funny people talking like life
exactly.
or Harlem.
Yeah,
we're talking about Harlem Nights and all
like,
that stuff.
To me, it's throwing things that you have to be paying attention, or like the second or third time. Oh, I didn't notice that in the moment. I've had that a couple times. All right, so I teased out of the last break how the Cleveland Browns, who currently sit at 0-10, can make the playoffs, I should say. They can still make the playoffs. And all that needs to happen are 47 different results. That's all. All right, so it starts in week 12. Obviously, the Browns have to win out. They have to finish 6-10. Yeah. Then, the Chiefs beat the Bills, the Titans beat the Colts, the Patriots beat the Dolphins, the Broncos and the Raiders tie. The Texans beat the Ravens, the Cowboys beat the Chargers, the Panthers beat the Jets. None of those results in this week are really that far-fetched. Stay for the tie, obviously. Then, the Browns win again, the Patriots beat the Bills, the Broncos beat the Dolphins, the Jaguars beat the Colts, the Chiefs beat the Jets, the Titans beat the Texans, the Steelers beat the Bengals, the Lions beat the Ravens, and the Giants beat the Raiders. Week 14, there's 9 more results. Week 15, there's 8 more results. Week 16, there's 7 more results. And week 17, there's 6 results, culminating with the Browns beat the Steelers, the Chiefs beat the Broncos, the Colts beat the Texans, the Bills and the Dolphins tie, the Patriots beat the Jets, and the Bengals beat the Ravens. 47 things to happen, and the Browns make the playoffs.
It's a lot of things, but it kind of shows that the AFC is sorry.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, we can talk about that, but to me, it is startling when you look at Nathan Peterman throwing 5 interceptions and a half, and that team is still right in the thick of the wild card. I haven't checked the standings. Did Baltimore? Yeah, Baltimore leapt them based off of win percentage in conference games. So their conference record is 4-3 compared to the Bills 3-3. But the Dolphins being a game out is indicative enough of, I mean, the fact that they could still make the playoffs. Obviously, yes, they have 2 games left to play against the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's very unlikely that they make the playoffs. But the fact that they even have a chance after the performances they turned in this season is flabbergasting. I can't understand. Even the Titans at 5, they're not that great either. The Chiefs right now lead an AFC West that has completely crumbled. There have been 2 coordinator firings in that division this week with Mike McCoy out yesterday in Denver. Today, the Raiders fired their defensive coordinator, Ken Norton Jr. I mean, the fact that all of these teams are still in with a chance is insane.
It's crazy to look. If you look at the AFC South is the only division that's even worth talking about who's going to win and who's going to lose, with the Jacksonville Jaguars at 7-3 and Titans at 6-4. All the other 3 divisions, mm-hmm. Buffalo Bills at 5-5 behind the Patriots 8-2. That's curtains. That division's curtains. Steelers 8-2, Baltimore 5-5, curtains. And you're talking about the West, which preseason, Chris, we would have said – there's going to be 2 teams at least coming out of the AFC West in the playoffs. Chargers at 4-6 are number 2 in front of Oakland Raiders and Denver Broncos at 3-7. The AFC is bad right now. Bad football going on, bad quarterbacking, and that's how you get a situation where a 0-10 team will have a chance to win, but the AFC let me down this year.
Do you think that there's like a league-wide crisis with some of this stuff in terms of quarterbacking, offensive line play, quality of tackling, like – I had a moment on Sunday. I left the Dolphins game at halftime because I was just like, it's too nice of a day outside. I'll watch the game later. And I was there as a media member. I wasn't there as a fan. I just left. We did the pregame show. I just went home. And I just, in general, like, I watched the 4 o'clock window on the Red Zone channel, and I was doing other things, but, like, I could have just as easily missed that. I mean, it was Broncos. Who did the Broncos play? I don't even remember it went down to the final possession, and it was just a totally unmemorable game. The Saints?
No, the Bengals.
The Bengals. I'm sorry. And then the Raiders Patriots game was a complete destruction, and then the Chargers game was over after 2 interceptions. So it feels too easy to just say like football is bad now. It feels like football is bad now.
It's the this is obviously my opinion. The taking away camp, and it started with the CTE stuff, and I know it's a reason behind it, so mm-hmm. don't text in, oh, I'm being insensitive. I know all the people. I was good friends with Junior Seau. I understand the effects and what it can do.
Right.
But with the knowledge of what we know the CTE mm-hmm. and the head trauma can do, they pulled back football. Guys I talk to that still play, they laugh. We talk about it, everybody laughs. I'm like, man, y'all never hit? And they look at me and laugh, and they be like, Crowder, man, we never tackle. We don't even put shoulder pads on through camp. We might have 2 days of hitting all camp. I think that's hurting the defensive side of the ball. And the development of quarterbacks, we praised Mark Richt for that run-pass option, where college is going wide open, 5 wide, jet sweeps, the Urban Meyer, Chip Kelly, what happened in that range in college football. I think that's what's affecting the development of quarterbacks, because everything's a run-pass option. So you don't have to sit in the pocket. You don't have to go through five progressions.
Well,
you don't
have to do all that. That happened to Bryce Petty when he came into the NFL. Was at Baylor, you don't make decisions. You don't do you don't even make a play call. You don't, like, he was struggling with getting a huddle together, getting out a play call. Like, things like that. I remember reading that at Jets camp. It was like, damn, it's that basic, it's that dumbed down for college quarterbacks? And yeah, that's
really
what's happening.
Is. And watch it, and this frustrates me. I don't know how, you know, how other people feel about it. It gets to me, honestly. When an offense lines up, the quarterback kicks his knee, and then the entire team of 11 guys stare at the sideline for the coach to tell them what play to run. And then if they want to make an audible, the quarterback will say, Omaha. And then the whole team looks back to the coach. You have no way for your quarterback to make the audible out there 2 yards away from the lineman where everybody has to look to the sideline. I don't want to say lazy coaching, but it's an easier out where the communication from quarterback to coach to quarterback to the offense, I want to skip a step. I'm going to skip my quarterback in that communication. But who is that hurting? I think it's hurting your quarterback, his development. It might help your team during that game, but big picture, is your quarterback really understanding the defense, or is he doing what you tell him to do?
Does a college quarterback have to care about that? A college coach have to care about that.
No, but shouldn't he? Because they all brag about the guys they put in the league. If you look at a coach's Wikipedia, it's funny to me. They have lists of players. This coach coached this guy. I coached this guy. I coached that guy.
Yeah. So it's part of recruiting too.
Wouldn't you want to develop them to the highest level they can develop?
Well, you can develop the other 21 positions on the field.
And that's but I see what you're saying. I'm with you too. Is it easier from a coach to just call his play and adjust it from the sideline and tell him, I know all 11 guys know the play I want them to run. Now I have to trust my quarterback. But back in the day before all this, that's what it was about. You don't think Marino and Montana and Kelly, you don't think those guys got better by having to be behind the offensive line, watching the safeties, watching if the linebackers are creeping up, seeing if it's a weak or the strong side safety, if they're rolling the right corner up, if it's cover two, cover six, cover four, all those reads that great quarterbacks make. If I'm able year after year to just stare at the sideline, hey, coach, QB, what coverage is it? I don't know. Coach is going to tell us. A player would like that because it's easier on him. Less film study, less stress. It's easier on the coach because he has to not worry about an 18, 19-year-old guy going and working and grinding in the film room. But is it hurting that player and is it hurting that team? I would say it's one of those double-edged swords where player development is getting hurt by it, but it makes it easier for colleges to win games. So as a coach, to your question, I don't know the answer. Do you worry more about winning games or developing your players to prepare them for the NFL? Honestly, which is sad to say, I think winning games is the most important thing on any college coach's mind.
That's sad to say. I mean, if the NFL wants to develop players for the NFL, they should have a minor league where they develop players for the NFL.
But that's unrealistic with the money they get.
Why?
Because I don't think with so many players, and this is the
reallocate that money towards having minor league teams. Where if you want to have players developed in the way that you want them, develop them in the way that you want them. No one's stopping you from doing that.
Where do you take that money from? Because you already have 50 guys. You already hit your salary cap.
Giant profits that you make.
And like, who's going to give up the money for NFL D-League? Because are your owners going to take a cut or are the players going to take a cut? Because we've been arguing for now two decades about who needs more money.
Right.
So now when we finally – and the CBA now, we're talking about locking out again. I still say we like I'm a player. The players are talking about locking out again. So who's going to sacrifice? Because, Chris, that's going to be an expensive venture.
Yeah.
What do you say, 6 to 8, 10 – teams, D-League teams?
I mean, you probably have to have one per team.
So you have to have 32 D-League teams?
If you're interested in developing a player for your team, then, yeah, like, they're either they should affiliate with colleges or and really make this a minor, or make college a minor league, which it already is. But, like, if you're Mark Richt, what do you care if Malik Rozier is getting ready for the pros? I need to win. I need to win for my program. Like, I don't care.
I guess the development on my side, where in my mind, if your players get drafted higher, if they're prepared to play in the pros, am I off by thinking that your team will now be better because
you'll get more players who want to go?
You see what I'm saying? Where you can keep moving.
That's how Alabama does it.
With the D-League thing, though, I'm not saying like you're crazy because I can't say it doesn't work. Basketball does it. Baseball does it. Mm-hmm. So I can see where those developmental leagues work, and I would love it. But my question is, when I talk about this with people, somebody's going to have to give up millions of dollars to develop this D-League.
Right.
Is it coming from the players or the owners?
Well, I think where it comes from is colleges. Colleges will lose, will stand to lose a lot of money if you're basically saying, you come out of high school, you go straight to the D-League team.
They can't pay a head coach $10 million by giving up money, Chris.
No, they cannot.
College ain't going to give up no money. We've seen that. They're mad about this whole players being paid guy. What are
you
talking about?
But if you're the NFL, you don't have to care about college football. You don't.
So who's going to convince college to give up millions of dollars?
No one has. What I'm saying is the NFL doesn't have to. They can just do it and say, bleep you, I don't care about your business, your unfair business model. I want quarterbacks to be ready to play in my league when they're ready to play. Like, I want them to learn from pro-style coaches, learn how to play pro-style. Like, they don't have to care.
I think they've done it. I want to say somebody famous tried to do it once, and it just, the money was just too, it's,
right.
The money is stupid. Coaching staff, trainers, now dietitians. Yep. To run a football team is way, it takes
MLS
way more.
MLS is starting to do this, by the way, now. A lot of them have USL teams that are like New York Red Bulls 2, and it's all their young players, you know, getting professional games. If you want to teach your players how to do it, that's how you do it.
Easily help the NFL, but I don't know if they can figure it out.
We'll wrap things up next here on QAM.
This podcast is presented by David Lowe and Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.